I first want to thank all of you for the wonderful invitation to come and speak with you this morning. Last week was not my first Sunday here. That's the reason why I didn't stand up and say anything, but yet was comfortably pointed out in the crowd. And it's been a little over 20 years since my family and I have been here. And we were here when I was the pastor of the Metropolitan Community Church. And I believe some of you may remember, I see some of your faces that I remember, when I was the pastor here, we rented space from you folks when you were in the Hillcrest building. And it was a wonderful relationship between MCC and the UUs. And I particularly want to remember, and I want to dedicate this talk, sermon, whatever you want to call this, to the Reverend Jennifer Slade. She was a wonderful, wonderful person, a great advocate, a great activist, and a wonderful person for our community. And I just truly, truly appreciated the time that I had working with her out in the community for social justice and all the different types of activism that we did in the community. One particular such time is when Jennifer helped to support us in her thoughts, and some of you also helped us in that when we moved from the old building. Y'all had already moved from the Hillcrest building to this building when another church bought your old building, but we grew to the point where we could purchase our own structure. Now, I know that some of you weren't here during that time, but Jennifer certainly was, and she helped us in our fight with the city to get into our building that we purchased on Lloyd Street. So we literally had to sue the city in order to get into our building that we purchased on Lloyd Street. So there's a wonderful journey between you folks and me and my family. And I am so grateful for the opportunity of being able to continue our journey, even though we've moved along the way in different paths. When I left MCC Greenville, I went to MCC Charlotte for 8.5 years, then I went out to San Antonio, Texas for 10 years. And it's funny when you, as you get older, you start remembering the things that you said as a youth. And I'm now starting to realize that some of those things are coming to pass. Like, I always remembered saying, well, I will be happy when I'm able to say, 20 years ago, I remember this. And when it happened, I had to step back and say, oh my God, have I gotten that much older? And I remember one of the things that I've always wanted to do is when I got older, I kind of wanted to have the freedom of my favorite character on the Golden Girls, Sophia. That woman can walk into a room and say anything she wants to say. It doesn't really matter. There's no filter on it. There's no concern about it. She speaks her truth, no matter how outrageous it is. Now, it's been 2 years since I've preached. When I retired from MCC San Antonio, from MCC, I went into hospice work, and I'm now doing hospice work for Hospice of the Upstate, and I'm also PRN chaplain for St. Francis here in Greenville. And I'm having a wonderful time, and I said, well, when I retire, I'd like to go around and preach at different churches and not have to have the headache of running the church, but be able to have fun of being able to go into church and say whatever I wanted to say and then leave, and then everybody else would have to deal with it. So get ready. It is a joy to be here. It is a joy to be here, particularly on such a wonderful occasion as celebrating Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. Tomorrow is a time in which hundreds of thousands, hopefully millions of people will sit back and remember, and some in various places will be marching. I remember marching in the MLK March in Charlotte, and when we moved to San Antonio, we were part of the MLK March in San Antonio, which is the largest MLK march in the United States. And when we marched in San Antonio, hundreds of thousands of people gathered from all walks of life, not only to celebrate the birth and celebrate the life and ministry of Dr. Martin Luther King, but also to further his cause. Now, I remember saying a long time ago, we still got a long way to go. And we do. We haven't gotten there yet. But I heard on the news this morning from a little black girl who stood up on the news and said, we've come a long way, and I'm able to do this, and I'm able to do that. And I had to realize we have come a long way. The reality of it is we've got a long way to go. Because for some of us, we tend to take one step forward and two steps backwards. And I feel like we are in a time and in a place in which we've taken a couple of steps back. Not just in the racial issue, but also in the sexual orientation issue and in the women's issue. And the political climate that is out there gives permission for people to hate. It also gives us permission to get up and fight, to continue our journey together as UUs and Christians and other religions as we fight for what is right. I'd like to say everything's grand and wonderful, but it's not. So this morning I stand before you dressed in my clergy outfit, wearing my rainbow stole, holding my cross, acknowledging that together we still have journey. Together we still have work to do. Now some of you do not know my background, but I started out in the Baptist church, then I went to the Methodist church, then I went to the Episcopal Church. Then I came out in seminary as a gay man, which automatically took me out of the Methodist Church, and then the Episcopal Church, and definitely the Baptist Church. And I found MCC, which is Metropolitan Community Churches, which opened its doors to everyone. It didn't matter who you were. Didn't matter what you were. God loves you for who you are because God created you who you are. Now, Christianity has certain basic tenets to it. And I will acknowledge to you today that some of our churches have gotten it wrong. I'm right. They're wrong. Thank you. I got an amen corner back there. This is good. But I remember going from city to city to city to city, having to be the local activist for the LGBT community because other people were scared to do so. And when you feel the need and you feel the push and you feel the call to do that, you recognize that social justice is important and needs to take place. Not all of us have the freedoms that some of us have. And we continue to have to fight for them. But we have to be able to go from our head to our heart to our actions. Have to go from our head to our heart to our actions. Because if we're constantly in our head, nothing's ever going to get done. We're going to have that mental stimulation that goes on and absolutely nothing gets going on except for you thinking wonderful thoughts and saying, that would be a good day. We still have a lot of work to do. I grew up in a town called Demopolis, Alabama, and I lived in Forkland, Alabama, which was 8 miles south, no, 8 miles north of Demopolis, which was 15 miles south of Utah. In the 60s. Now, I know geography, most of you could care less about Alabama. Quite frankly, I did too. That's why I got out of it after high school. But Utah was a place where one of the demonstrations took place in the very beginning of the civil rights movement. Because a black woman was harassed by a local sheriff. Utah is in Greene County, which is the poorest county, or was the poorest county in the state of Alabama. So when the picket started taking place, local black leaders and the black community within Utah boycotted the primarily white businesses that were in Utah. And then there are other steps in the civil rights movement. Demopolis is 50 miles west of Selma, which the wonderful march from Selma to Montgomery took place. I grew up in a time in which my father traveled as a traveling salesman for Van Heusen Shirt Company. My mother had to work, and my three other brothers and I were pretty much left to ourselves to go back and forth to school. If any of you saw the movie The Help, I find myself in that movie. Because while my mother worked, my mother and father had hired housekeepers to take care of me. And as I was growing up, and as I continued to grow up, I always had this in the back of my mind, what is the issue? What is the problem? Why are people treating each other this way? Why can't we just all get along? What's the reason for all this separation, for all this hate? And I never could get it. And then I went to high school, and I was going to be one of the first of five people to go to the all-black school in Demopolis. But my mother refused for me to go because she didn't want me to do that. Later on, and my husband can attest to this, I called my mother out on her stuff. I told her she was a racist a long time ago. I kept standing up to her. And then I started realizing that not only was I different in my philosophy toward other people, I was also different for some reason because I didn't seem to fit the mold of my brothers, who were extremely straight. Straighter than I am gay. They're just really, really straight. And I always thought that before I realized that I was gay, that I was different from them, and I thought it was because of my faith. And then as I grew up and I went to seminary, I graduated from college and I went to seminary, and I came out halfway through seminary, then I started realizing I'm a lot different than a lot of my brothers. I'm really different than a lot of people. And then we started getting involved in gay prides and recognizing that the inequality within the country didn't just happen against blacks and whites. The inequality and the injustices and the discrimination was against anybody that was different from, and excuse me, white men, I'm one, I can pass as one. If you didn't match the white man's persona, then you're different. And I have to keep reminding myself that not all white men are bad. You hear me? It's just that in this country, we have this perception of power and prestige. And the ones that have power are the white guys. And then as you go down the totem pole, then you started seeing some other people who have a little bit of power or perceived power or power within a set area. Martin Luther King was a black Baptist Christian activist that sought to do and to live a passion that was burning within him to fight for equality and justice, not just for the black community, but for all people. All people. And in his I Have a Dream speech, two of the favorite lines in that speech for me is when he spoke of, I really have a dream that one day my kids will grow up in a nation where they're not judged by the color of their skin, but they are judged by the content of their character. That dream continues today. That dream continues today. And the next line in that I Have a Dream speech that I really enjoy is when he pointed out the governor of Alabama in the speech and pointed out the citizens of Alabama and saying, I have a dream that one day the people in Alabama will see that little black boys and little black girls will be able to walk hand in hand down the street of Alabama with little white boys and little white girls, and they will know an age of time and peace. While a lot has changed over the last 50 years, and we're celebrating 50-year anniversary toward in that movement, while there is still a little bit of the progress that has happened, we still find ourselves in an age where equality is not given. We still find ourselves in an age in which black people are still subservient, where women are still subservient, and where gay and lesbian people are still subservient, and discrimination happens rapidly all across the country, and we still have to fight for it. And if you remember correctly, in the civil rights movement, there was another movement before the civil rights movement. It's when Mahatma Gandhi did his little civil rights demonstration in India back in the early 40s. And in that movement, based out of Hinduism, he followed his religion to move forward in a people that were discriminated against and hated and persecuted, used his faith in order to help people understand that there is a God of love and care out there. And there is a better way of addressing life with each other. Martin Luther King crafted, followed, used as an example Mahatma Gandhi's tactics when he helped to organize the civil rights movement of nonviolence. I enjoy your opening remarks where y'all gather to celebrate all that is good in all of the religions. There are good things in all of our religions. But there are also dark things in all of our religions. The reality of it is, in all of our religions, there are small groups of people that tend to exacerbate and lift up some of those dark things that cause us consternation and fear and cause us to go back two steps when all of us are trying to go forward one. You see, the civil rights movement's not dead. It's still alive. The gay rights movement is not dead, it's still alive. The feminist movement is not dead, it's still alive. Just the other day on the news, there's this understanding that Matt Damon accepted $1 million extra purse to redo his role in a film, and then the female character who is equally just as wonderful was given $1,000. So if we need to be real here, all that we thought of in the civil rights movement is still existing. And that's where you and I need to move from our heads to our hearts and continue to realize we got work to do. We have work to do. Now in the Christian tradition, one of the major texts for us, miraculously, is found in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, we find these words. God has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly before your God? Now, we have a saying that tells us what God wants. What God wants for us as people, as the creation. I want you to love me, yes, but I want you to do justice. In other words, I have a plan for you. You're not to think better of yourself than you are, and you're to do justice in the world, because in God's eyes, all are equal anyway. God created us all equal. It's only human arrogance that has lifted up the classes. It's only human arrogance that's lifted up the sexism. It's only human arrogance that has separated all of us from each other. And there's a stream of goodness through all of the religions concerning social justice. We find the commonalities of all of our religion in the understanding that all of our religions say that we're all God's people. We're all equal. Not one is better than the other. But then yet, in subgroups, there's some differences. God has called us to social justice. And in James, it tells us to be doers of the word. And the word says, be justice seekers. Be doers, not just hearers. Because sometimes when we're just hearers, it's kind of like James reminds us, we're looking at a mirror, and then we see an image. We see our reflection. And then when we walk away from the mirror, that reflection goes away and we forget who we are. We weren't called just to sit back and think. We're called to sit back, think, and do. When we see injustices, we're supposed to step up to the plate. We're supposed to step up to the plate to try and stop the injustices. It's difficult to do. Because if I remember correctly, and I do remember correctly, the civil rights movement, as well as the movement by Mahatma Gandhi, people died for their justice movement. Their passion was so great, and their pain was so great, their anger was so great, that they couldn't just sit back and do nothing. Because in sitting back and doing nothing, it just exacerbated and it allowed the pain to continue and the injustice and the discrimination to continue. It meant that they needed to step up to the plate, step out and march for what was right. Even in the face of death, even in the face of persecution, even in the face of physical pain and anguish, even in the face of imprisonment, they needed to get up and speak. They need to get up and do something. I remember the first gay pride march in Greenville. The majority of my church didn't march in the gay pride here in Greenville for fear that their bosses would see them and they would be fired. Oh, they would go to the gay pride in Columbia, but they wouldn't do the one here in Greenville. And it was vice versa. A lot of the people in Columbia didn't march in the Columbia march because they were feared of being fired. I don't know how it is now. We went to Spartanburg this past year, which is the first year we've been back in 20 years. And it was great. It was wonderful being able to walk around in that little park area in Spartanburg and see all the family that was out there, see the UUs that were out there, see the MCCers that were out there, and see the drag queens and all of the other stuff that was out there. It was great. It was kind of like a new freedom that we continued to have. The reality of it is, we really don't have that much freedom except for on that day, in that week of that month. So I found a t-shirt that I thought was interesting. There was an ulterior motive of buying two new t-shirts because I'd outgrown all the other t-shirts. So the reality of that, I just needed a new wardrobe. But this particular t-shirt spoke to me. Speak up, speak out, stop hate. There's lots of ways in which we can address discrimination in the world. There's doing marches. There's organizing them. And I would love to see an MLK march in Greenville. My family would be the first ones in there. My family's kind of strange, delightfully strange. We don't really blend in. When we go out to eat, we kind of stick out like a cherry on a Boston cream pie. My husband and I have two children that are African American. So when we go to Walmart, we're there. When we go to O'Charlie's, we're there. When we go to any other restaurant, Olive Garden, Red Lobster, we're there. They see us for who we are. And some of us, some people give us stares. I can't remember, I think it was when my oldest brother died or when my mother died. My family went back to Demopolis to do the funeral, and Jean had to take our daughter to the restroom because there's no restrooms in the cemetery. They haven't created a cemetery yet that has restrooms, shy of a tree. But he took our daughter to Walmart in Demopolis, and the attendant, one of the attendants, who happened to be a black female, started screaming at Jean because Jean was taking our daughter to the restroom. And it was the guy's restroom. Something we do all the time. She said, "I'll take her, I'll take her, I'll take her." And Jean says, "I'm not going to give you my child. I don't know you from Adam. She's going in with me." There's discrimination everywhere. Different forms. Different ways it's expressed. Not accepted yet. The goal is be accepted. Of course, then there's the understanding that black people have a goal of being accepted too. Females have a goal of being accepted too. I don't know too many white men that have to struggle with equality. I really don't. If you know them, let me know, because I'll certainly use them as an example. But we have a long way to go. We do. And I need you. You see, this sermon is not about Martin Luther King. It's really not about his I Have a Dream speech. It's really not about celebrating King's birthday. This sermon's about me. This sermon's about you. This sermon's about all of us who need to come together and continue to come together to do the social justice work in the world, because if it were not for us, nobody would be doing it. And the status quo would remain the same. The abuses would continue. The inequities will continue. And I know this makes some of us nervous, but that's okay. It's okay to be nervous. What's not okay is to be so nervous it keeps us stalemated and quiet and still in our pews. That's when your neighbor needs to elbow you and say, "Come on with us, let's do the social justice dance." UUs are famous for it. UUs are famous for it. If MCC ever had an issue, ever needed assistance, ever needed a place to worship, a place to use, the UUs were always there. UUs welcomed us with open arms. It didn't matter. UUs invited us to join in pickets and marches with us in downtown Greenville. UUs were there. So this is not anything alien to you. It says you might be new to it, and that's okay. Some of us old folks will take you by the hand and walk you down the street. It's okay. But it will warn you. It'll cost. For standing up for what you believe, for stepping up to the plate for someone else, may cost you. It may cost you your work. It may cost you your friends. It may cost you your family. It may cost you your life. But it's what I believe our God is calling us to do. Because I know that the God of my understanding Jesus was probably the first social activist that stood up to the establishment. Jesus wasn't a status quo person. Jesus was wild and radical. He did insane things. He stepped up to the priests. He stepped up to the politicians. He got up in their faces. Why do you think he got crucified? Because he was making a scene. They all told him to hush. They all told him to be quiet. They all told him to stop what he was doing. But Jesus continued to do it. Jesus associated with people who were beneath all the others. Jesus continued to walk around with and to socialize with people who were unclean, which other people didn't do. Jesus stood up for the poor, the disenfranchised, the aliens, the orphans, the widows, the eunuchs, the Samaritans, all of the people who were not accepted or loved or cared for in the society of his time. You and I are benefits of what Jesus did. You and I are benefits, or you and I benefit from what Mahatma Gandhi did. You and I benefit from what Martin Luther King did. You and I benefit from what all the LGBT activists did. And because of all that work that is done, folks like me are able to go back to the Baptist church. Folks like you are able to get jobs in places that you never felt you could get jobs in. We have a history of people standing up and doing the work to make the world a better place. And you and I need to continue it. You and I need to continue it. Because if we don't, we're going to continue to allow the haters to hate. We're going to continue to allow the people who are in power that make the rules to continue to make rules that abuse the people who are less than privileged. Your activism is in your marching. Your activism is in the people you vote for. Your activism is in the social clubs that you associate with. Your activism is in your actions daily as you talk to people, as you hear jokes that are less than funny, but are hurtful, and you confront them, or you don't laugh. Your activism continues on in the clothing that you wear ever so subtly, or dead on. And your activism is sticking to the streets when needed. See, it's not over. It won't be over for a long time. Some of us will lose our jobs. Some of us, our families will go the other way. Some of us will be spat on. Some of us will be slapped. Some of us will lose our jobs. Some of us will not find any peace. Some of us might even land in jail. But look around. Look around. Not rhetorical. Look around. We're worth it. We're worth it. You and I, we're worth it. Because my holy text tells me that we're all created in God's image. And when God finished creating, God said, "It's very good. I like the color in the room. It's freeing. It's loving. It's accepting. There could be a little more color. Could be a little more color. Look around. Look around. If you know someone, welcome them to the justice movement. And begin to have the intestinal fortitude to leave the complexity, complacency and comfort of your home and your pew and realized that there's still people out there who are struggling to make ends meet. They're struggling with being loved by their family and accepted by their family, struggling with being equally in the workplace or any other place. There's still people out there that get stared at. There's still people out there that do not have the resources to care for their own children or even the children they adopt. It's up to us. And I apologize because I haven't preached in 2 years. But I'm going to end now because my husband said, you don't need to take us over 12. You are loved. You are appreciated. You are needed. The history that is here, needs to continue. Let's build upon our commonalities. Let's build upon our associations and continue to attempt to make the world a better place. Amen.